Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another amazingly fun-tastic night of Fandomexus. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, we got a real slam-bang show for us tonight. We've got Surreal Estate. We're going to talk about Black Widow. We're going to talk about American Horror Stories episode Drive-In. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and possibly WandaVision. I'm not going to guarantee we get to all of it tonight, but that's the plan. If we do not, then we will talk about WandaVision next week, probably. So, as soon as the ladies get here, we can get rocking and rolling. So, while I'm waiting, I will tell everyone that my son has been doing a Dexter watch, and he asked if I wanted to watch the last two episodes of the season with him. So we got to the finale, and he hated it as much as I did. Getting ready for season 9 to hopefully feel a little better about Dexter, but we'll see. So there's that. What else have I been watching? Not much, really. We watched Fast and Furious 9, which was ridiculous. But it was, you know, expected ridiculousness. We watched the Rock movie, what's that called? Jungle Cruise. We watched Jungle Cruise last night. That's a very entertaining, nice adventure show, movie for kids. I found it enjoyable. Wasn't anything special, but still pretty good. I mean, you can't go wrong with Dwayne Johnson. So, goody, I have a co-host. I don't have to babble anymore.
Hi, how are you, AJ? Karen.
Good. Hello, Karen. How are we tonight?
I'm pretty good. Happy Tuesday.
Yes, happy Tuesday.
Happy Phantom Access night. And we actually have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight.
We do. But I saw how things went last. Yeah, oh, I saw how things went last week, so I warned our audience that we might not get to everything, and whatever we don't get to, we'll be next week.
Okay, fair enough. So Jamie should be here in a minute, I guess.
I hope so.
We usually start with some of the Jamie shows, although we could do a little horror story, I guess.
She didn't say anything about running late tonight, did she?
No, she didn't say she'd be late. I guess she was trying to dial in or something. She was having some computer trouble.
There she is.
Jamie!
Hello, Jamie.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Great. I am great. We're all great. So, if there's a lot of stuff to talk about, we should jump right in.
Sure.
Do you
want to
talk
about the TV first, or what do we want to do here?
Yeah, I think let's talk about our TV shows first because there's all that Marvel stuff we're going to put in the back end. Yeah. Surreal Estate. Let's do Surreal Estate.
Okay.
Episode 3.
Yeah.
I think, was it just called The Lake House, I think? I'm not really sure what it was called. But this was the one at the Lake House.
I'm not sure. Yeah. You're right. I thought this one was good. I mean, granted, I liked it because Melanie was in it, but I think it was pretty good. And definitely she was a different character.
So, yeah, Melanie Scrofano, right, who used to – fun seeing her play a character that was so almost the opposite of Winona Earp, right? Like, this was a very, like, kind of non-sexy, nerdy kind of character. Actually, in the whole beginning, I was like, what was her – like, I was like, did she cut her hair? No, that's got to be a wig, right? And then she whips the wig off pretty quickly.
Yeah, that hair was so horrible on purpose, but –
Yeah. And
yeah,
then, yeah, she looked
I don't know. I liked the storyline. I liked it, how it, like, was kind of the ghost controlling her. And in the end, he was able to fix that. Although I think the music box backwards thing was really, really obvious. Because I remember screaming at the TV, play it backwards, play it backwards, play it backwards, like through the whole episode.
I know, and
but,
I had the closed caption. I had the closed captioning on, so when it comes up, it came up on the screen when the grandmother is saying the rhyme, and then she says the part that's unintelligible. Like on the closed caption, it says play it backwards on your screen. Like if you, I'm like, oh, that looks like backwards writing. Oh yeah, it is backwards writing. So
I don't really, that kind of that I did not have captions when I first saw it, but
yeah,
I think either way, I think it was pretty obvious. We have experience with that. So,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, I like the story. I thought it was kind of unique. I'm trying to think what else was in here besides the stuff with her.
Well, he
was kind of stuck there, so most of it was her, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of like, I mean, parts that didn't make total sense to me, like the ghosts, like the ghosts had the ability to really haunt the place and to keep her there. And so why were the ghosts making her fake haunt the place with the fan?
I mean, at least I took it. I don't know. Maybe I took it wrong. I took it that she didn't want to sell it, but that she
wasn't able
to leave. Maybe it made her not want to sell it. Now that you say that to me, and I question it, I didn't question it till now. But
yeah, because
in the beginning, want to leave either.
Well, in the beginning, it just seemed to be. I thought it was a total hoax, and she didn't want to leave, and so she was trying to fake her brother out and make her brother think that she couldn't sell it. Like she was just trying to sabotage her brother from selling it in the beginning. I thought, right? But then later on,
yeah,
it seems like she actually would like to leave. But she can't leave. Like she says to Luke, I've tried to leave so many times and I just can't. I just can't leave here. And she's like physically prevented by the ghost from leaving there, right? So it kind of like if there are ghosts, they're pretty powerful ghosts, right? That can appear and can talk. Like why did they just haunt the place themselves? I don't know. But
you ask. It's kind of a little strange. I don't know. I mean, maybe it made her not want to leave. I almost wondered through part of it, though, if maybe she didn't realize it was keeping her there, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the idea of this, like, I liked the storyline of, I don't know. So it was like a Tim-centric story, Luke-centric, which was kind of, you know, I liked it. Uh-huh. And, I mean, good guest stars, and it was an okay storyline, but it did feel a little bit like it was very obvious with the music box, but the music box, I don't know. I guess I'm not looking to the show to be a highly complex mystery, right? It's like a fun show to watch on a Friday night. It's not like the most highly.
Right.
And plus there has to be time. There was time for the B story, which was Susan, right? That's her name, Susan. The guy kept calling her Stacy.
Yeah.
She's trying to sell a house to a Stephen King type character.
You were calling her something else last week. So.
I always call her Lauren. I don't know why I always call her Lauren. I think her name's Susan, but the character, the Stephen Kingish guy, I forget his name, but Stephen King kept calling her Stacy. Like it was a running joke that he kept getting her name wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
He was always calling. But there was that subplot of her trying to sell a house and. Susan really was kind of a jerk. Like, she's a total jerk to Zoe, right? Like, Susan does have, like, this bad habit of, like thinking she's the greatest and everybody else, like, she doesn't let anybody, she's inexperienced. She didn't really learn anything last week by the little girl almost trying to kill her when Luke was very clear that you have a lot to learn, and she really hasn't learned that lesson, and she was a total jerk to Zoe, and she deserved, like, Zoe didn't even, it's not even, like, she acted like Zoe had undermined her. She's like, oh, it would have been nice to know that. But
like,
totally dismissed her.
Trying to help.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was actually this sort of, like, character development subplot going on, which was interesting and fun.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I liked it, right? Did you like that? I liked that storyline.
Yeah. And if I'm remembering rightly, he wanted the crazy house, right? Which... Was Luke's, I think? Wasn't it Luke's house?
Yes, it turns out it was Luke's house that he grew up in. He, Or so he says, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said it was his house. He says it was his house that he grew up in.
Yeah. And then this is where he talks to his mother, too.
That's
the other thing. I'm sorry?
Right? What's that his mother was so mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where he finds out that she didn't want him, basically. Was not what he thought. Was not what he expected, because he wanted to see her and then found out she was, like, this bitch, I guess, essentially.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what he thinks right now, so. Yeah.
Not even that she didn't want him, but she was, like, so mean, like, you were such a disappointment. Like, she says stuff like, imagine going through all that labor and then, like, what I get is you, right? Like, and then, like, you're told, like, that was really mean.
Well,
to the point that I...
them, so I assume she didn't, I don't know if she says she didn't want him, I assume she didn't want him, I might just be saying that, but...
I mean, you can leave,
yeah,
but not have
not
to be so, I mean, that was... That was just not like, I don't want a kid.
No,
that was like, you're the worst kind of thing, right? It was really horrible
right,
and mean,
right.
Which made me start to wonder, be a ghost pretending to be his mother. Like, could it be, I don't know. I was like, maybe it's not really his mother. Like, maybe it's a ghost pretending to be his mother. Or maybe his mother's like, haunt. Like, that was, it surprised me for it to be that mean on this show. So that's why I was just like, oh, I wonder if there's more going on here. But I know you've seen a lot more episodes than I am, and you can't than I have, and you're not going to say anything about it. But it just made me wonder if there's more here than just a really horrible mother, because obviously the storyline's going to keep going, and like, not really sure why. So I feel like this story's not over yet, and we're going to see more of this, right? And yet, why would he continue to pursue his mother if she's so mean to him like that, right? Like, so I
right.
feel like I
mean,
wonder if there's more
than
to this.
His mother, I don't know that that's an answer, but you know.
Well, I know, but if someone, even if your dead mother treated you like that, wouldn't you be like, okay, whatever, I'm done? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. But
So yeah, it was pretty. I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty self-contained episode, but. Actually, this, I was going to say, was this one the bottle episode? This one might have been a bottle episode. I'm not even sure.
No, because there's part of this episode
no, it takes place
where
places. Yeah.
Takes place in multiple locations, and there's a whole other thing going on where the characters realize that he likes Megan, and Susan says to him,
right.
like, if you like her, you should go there, which is why how he sees his mother even in the first place is because he's convinced to
right.
go
no, you're right.
ask Megan out.
Yeah. I'm just thinking because a lot of it took place at the cabin or whatever. I keep thinking that. All right.
Yeah. Well, that was to maximize Melanie Scrofano time, I think, right?
Probably.
Get as much of her in there
yeah.
as you can.
I think she was good in this, so.
I thought she was good. It was, you know, it's surprising to see her so quickly after the other show just ended and, you know, fun to see her in a different
right.
role.
And like I said before, she directed. I don't know which one she directed, but I got the I'm of the opinion from what was said that it's after this one was the one she directed.
Oh.
I probably should find it exactly, but
oh, she directed
but yeah,
also.
She, I know she
oh,
directed.
Interesting.
Too. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. All right, that one probably coming up then.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I'll find out.
All right. Yeah, find out.
Well, I don't
and
know.
Bring it
I
up
think
at
that's
some point.
About it, I think.
I think so, yeah. I think this, you know, not a ton to delve into there. But
right.
I guess we can move on and talk a little quickie about Roswell. Because it was kind
sure.
of a big episode.
I just finished watching it like 5 minutes before I called in, so.
Okay, so Roswell, New Mexico. Two things happened. This was the episode where... I can't remember the guy's name, the Air Force guy. Why, I know his name's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, I'm never going to remember his name. But, yeah,
and
I know who you mean.
Alex.
From
Alex goes, his name
oh,
is Alex,
I
right?
I thought he meant the new guy's name. Yes, his name was Alex. I thought you meant the new guy's name.
No, I meant Alex goes
from,
and joins Deep Sea,
Deep
Throat,
sky.
Whatever they're
like,
called.
Deep
Sky.
I'm like, is it mm-hmm. Dark Sky? Is it Deep Sky? Now that you said Deep, it's Deep Sky, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, the secret organization that I thought he'd already decided he wasn't joining, so go figure.
Right at the end of last week, he was like, I'm totally not doing it.
Yeah, although I wonder that his decision was more about he didn't want to leave, more so than not wanting to do it. I don't know. But I thought he had made up his mind. Now he changed his mind because he was intrigued. I kind of like the thing where the guy tricked him. I think it's kind of obvious, but I like to figure out. I'm curious what this machine is that turns on every 47 days, but that was kind of strange. But we don't really know a whole lot about that. I think the more main parts of the storyline, I mean, there's actually a few things going on, but I think the two main parts is obviously that they're talking to Jones. I think his name's Jones, isn't it?
Mr. Jones. Michael and Isabel. Michael and Isabel are talking to Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Michael and Isabel are talking to Jones or whatever, and finding out that he's telling them that their mothers created Max as a clone to try to overthrow the dictator. And then in the other part of the storyline, Maria's trying to find out who was murdered. I told you. See, I was right, though, with what I said.
Yeah, you were right.
She was going to die. I thought she was saying they were going to kill somebody. Or somebody was going to kill somebody.
I totally thought they were at her funeral the way that, like, you were totally right, and I was wrong, that
yeah,
it looks like somebody else is going to be killed.
View, that's why I wanted. Not that it matters, but that's what I thought. So they're giving her adrenaline for that. Although, I got to say, I'm not sure why Michael catching her a moment before she hit the ground would make her less scared than Max catching her. Because
either way, she
didn't know Michael was going to catch her. Like, if she knew he was there, it'd be different. But she didn't know he was there. So that made absolutely no sense to me.
You're right. It made no sense.
So
he saved her, but she was, like, 1 foot above the ground when he saved her. Like, she probably she should have thought she was going to die. Yeah, that made
no
sense.
Yeah. That part was a little stupid. But other than that, I don't know. I'm not sure what to think about the Jones storyline. I think it's interesting that Michael is the heir to this dictator. I mean, obviously, this whole story, as far as I know, unless there's much more to the story than I ever knew, none of this is from the original. I don't know. See, I read books, but I think I read the books that were based on the TV show rather than the books that the TV show was based on. So I don't know. I can't, to be honest, I don't remember if they were, which was based on which when I read the books. They might have been the other way around. I just remember the books had dreamwalking, which I don't really think that the series had a lot of. But anyway, regardless of that, this storyline seems completely different. But he's the heir of the dictator. So you're supposed to, I guess, worry he's going to be bad. I don't know. But I guess
I was
a little confused for a minute. I guess they're saying that the dictator was against the mothers, but also was not because her son was, I wasn't sure at first if like they meant that they made Michael as well, or just that he was like biologically their son. I was a little confused by that. I think he meant biologically he was both their sons, like that they had an affair, but I was a little confused by that.
Well, the whole thing is very convoluted and sort of like, you know, I feel like the groundwork was not really well laid for this in the past, and it's sort of like all coming out and being, it was all exposition. Like, there's been so much exposition. Mr. Jones exists to feed us exposition, kind of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it kind of like, you know, the idea that one day Maria's like, Michael, you're the only person whose powers are unlimited, which is kind of not true. Like, I'm like, oh, is that true? Because Isabel's powers grow stronger all the time. Like, Isabel and Max both, they've all been growing stronger. Isabel is growing a lot stronger also. She has grown a lot stronger since we were introduced to her, right?
Commented how last week they all seemed to be able to be psychokinetic now, which Michael didn't seem to have his own thing. But I guess we know now what his own thing is. That he's can't be hurt or can't be burnt, or we don't really know. All we know is his hand didn't burn.
Always been that he's really good mechanic. He can build things. He can figure things out. He's like definitely the most analytical, right? I mean, Max is totally driven
but
by emotion.
But superpower that was different. He like what I meant is like Max heals. Isabel can do the thing in people's heads. He can move things, but so can they. But so now I guess his thing is that he's potentially invulnerable, which confuses me that his stepfather could break his hand into, or maybe it was Alex's father. I can't remember. Whoever the hell messed up his hand. It confuses me that that person can easily mess up his hand, like, permanently until Max fixes it, but yet fire doesn't burn him and he's never noticed it.
Well,
so,
I think it's because all three of them did. I think it's because all three of them were raised not even knowing they were aliens, and they didn't come into their powers until they were, you know, if they had been raised as aliens, they maybe would have been trained to, right? I mean, this is a common trope among, like, all YA kids, like, finding out they have powers that were stunted.
Yeah, and I guess it's possible his hand wouldn't automatically heal. I can buy that. What I can't buy is that he's that old and he came into his powers already and never noticed he was invulnerable. That I have a hard time believing.
Well, maybe he never was until someone told him, and if you know you have the power before it works, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is...
Maybe. It's making me think of self-actualization.
I have a real problem with invulnerable characters in any in superhero, like, any superhero who's too powerful irritates me, right? Like, anybody who's invulnerable... Yeah. is not a good character, because you have to have the possibility that they can be killed. So I think we probably will find out Michael's
right.
not, that there's a secret to it, right? I mean, I think it's, the bigger problem is that
fire.
We're...
I mean, I can buy, like, if it's just fire, I could be okay with that. But I don't think that's what they're implying.
The bigger problem is that we just found out about there's someone called the Dictator, and that, like, he's his son all of a sudden, and, like, you'd think when he met his mother for he only talked for, like, 5 minutes before she died, right? And, like, that's a huge thing to leave out, right? Right? You'd think his mother maybe could have told him. And we're learning that, I mean, so that is a little annoying, but we're learning also that, like, the two mothers, that of Isabel and Max or whatever, who brought them down to Earth. Isabel and Michael's mothers, who brought them down to Earth and whatever, like, they had been presented as these perfect people, really perfect.
And maybe they're not,
I mean, it seems like they were like, resistance fighters against the Dictator, but they were willing to create a clone and chain the child up. They were willing to do some bad stuff to beat the Dictator, right?
Which really doesn't match up with what we know. It seems like they rewrote it to fit it,
I like that Isabel says to Michael when she's yelling at Michael about, like, why don't you believe Mr. Jones? Oh, because suddenly, like, your mother's story isn't as perfect as you, like, thought it was. Like, she's sort of telling the audience, like, she's signaling to us, like, everything we've been told was this over... They all got this perfect story, and that's not how it is, right? Like, he wants to believe his dead mother was perfect, but maybe did some bad stuff.
Yeah, Max is kind of saying the same thing.
Do bad things in wars because they think, you know, the end justifies the means.
I thought they were going to say that the Dictator made the clone to do what he wasn't willing to do. So I find it interesting that it was made by the women. Although the truth is, he could be totally lying. We don't really know.
Yes.
I tend to believe him just because of the fact that I feel like after what happened with Noah, that if they have him lying, then it's kind of like a rehashed storyline. Do you feel like that? That's the only reason why I think he's not bad. Because I feel like it doesn't make sense if he is. Because if he is, it's sort of the same thing. Although, I don't know. I felt like through a lot of it, they should just try to ask him maybe how to help Max, which they never actually did until towards the end. She's like, can you save him? Like, through the whole thing, they never thought to even say, can you help him? Like, he would have it sounds like he would have voluntarily helped them, but they never gave him the chance. Well, Michael gave him the chance.
No, I believe him because, first of all, like, we can't, like, when you write for television, you just can't have characters that they can't just be blatantly lying all the time, because as for the audience, that's a bad story, right? And Isabel,
Again,
what I really liked about Isabel in this episode, and I don't love Isabel, but Isabel also says to Michael, she says, he's like, why would you believe me? And she says, Isabel says to Michael, nobody lies all the time.
So
part of what
everything.
He's telling us
yeah.
is true, right?
And
that's
kind of the audience,
mean,
or what you're supposed to think, I think.
I think it's true. I think if I was a television writer, I just can't watch a show where, like, characters are lying all the time. Like, where's the payoff for me as a viewer for me to watch that whole
mm-hmm.
hour, and then next week it turns out it was all a lie, right? So, I mean, that's partly why I believe him, because it's better television. And Isabel basically told us to believe him in the episode, right?
Right.
Isabel says, like, you can't So that's partly why why I believed her.
I just kind of felt like another lying bad alien was like too much what they did. That was why I felt like that.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
The reasoning doesn't really matter. We both agree that he's, for the most part at least, telling the truth. Now whether he's 100% altruistic and he's good, I don't know that I 100%
agree. Oh, I don't know about that.
But I do think that what he's saying about what happened is true. I feel like, or at least the majority of it anyway.
Yeah. Probably he has a perspective on it. I mean, obviously the mother's had a perspective that that led them to do some bad things. So there was all that going on and then some other stuff going on.
Yeah, we have the stuff with Rosa. And I think, I just want to comment on the Rosa, whatever you call her, whatever she's saying her name is now. I find that storyline somewhat interesting because it's kind of the whole, you know, nature versus nurture question. And I think that guy is going to turn out to be good because, I mean, obviously he was probably racist because his family was racist because he grew up that way. So the question is, if he doesn't grow up that way, is he still a racist? You know, it seems like he's a completely different person. And I don't know that I want their – I hope they're not pushing a love interest because I kind of wondered if they were. I don't want to see that happen. But I kind of like the idea that they're saying maybe he's not the same guy because he has different circumstances and that he can be a better person. I don't know.
Okay, I hear you and I agree with you, but him being a racist is not – his thing, his main thing. His main thing is he hates Rosa because she killed his sister. He forgot. I mean, by losing his memory, he forgot that Rosa killed that he ever had a sister that Rosa killed.
Right,
he's
but
like,
I think he was also racist regardless of that.
But I feel like we should not be fixated on the racism because that's not his main thing. His main danger to Rosa is not just because he hates Mexican immigrants. His main danger to Rosa is that he's obsessed with the death of his sister and blaming Rosa for it. Like, that's his real danger to her. And that's why he came after her, not because he just, like
no, that's
decided
why he
to,
came
like,
after her, but I think he was supposed to be mean to them well before the death. But I could be wrong. And you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he's
not
a,
really what
I mean, he's a racist jerk who hates immigrants, but really his thing with Rosa is about the sister's death, right?
Yeah.
Rosa killed these three girls, but which Rosa didn't even really do because we learned later that Rosa didn't kill them in the it was like a setup, right? I mean,
right.
It didn't really happen that way, right? But anyway, that was why.
Right.
So, yes, he does. So I agree with you. I mean, you're totally right that, like, he forgot that he was taught racism his whole life.
Yeah.
He forgot that but he also forgot that he ever had a sister that Rosa killed and that there is no Rosa Linda. You know, he wasn't wrong. Like, when he's like, there never was a Rosa Linda, I know your whole family, and you looked at, also, if you were going to, Jamie, if you take your own death,
yeah.
Like, would you,
yeah,
and
I
like, then you were posing,
Jamie Linda.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, oh, my name is Karina. I pick a totally different name and, like, make a little bit more effort to disguise myself.
Yeah.
So,
but I think she started to say her name was Rosa at one point, and that's why she, like, added to it or whatever rather than a completely different name. But, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So like you, I raised a red flag that I was like, please don't let this become a romance. But I do think it could be that they become, like, he obviously wants to be, like, friends with her almost. Like, he comes to say thank you, and he, like, bought her those nice pink pens or whatever. Yeah, but And she's so lonely and has no friends or whatever, and I could see maybe them becoming friends, and then is he going to get his memory back or whatever, right? Like, this is not, like, Rosa needs to stay away from him. Or is he going to like her? Is he going to want to ask her out because he just likes her, right? I don't know. But because, like, even he is agreeing that his family, or he seems to not like his family very much. He made some comments about, you know, oh, my family's kind of, and that's when Rosa's like, oh, racist jerks or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, yep.
So, yeah.
I got a question, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because of the original. I don't know. But, like, I feel like the show has had good storylines, per se. Like some of the writing is decent. But is it just me? Or are the characters in this show, like, generally unlikable? I don't know why I feel like that a lot.
Like
I don't know.
Like, even the main characters you don't like?
Yeah, like I'd say out of all of them, I kind of like Rosa. I don't really have a reason not to like her. I don't mind Kyle, but like Max and Isabel and Michael, I don't really like them. I guess I don't mind Max, but for whatever reason, like, I don't really like Michael and Isabel and Maria. I don't know. Like, I just, and like I said, it might just be because I like the original show and I'm without meaning to comparing it, but I just often find the characters very unlikable, especially Isabel for some reason. Like, she just, I don't know. I'm not sure what.
Well, she's better now. I mean, Isabel was a big jerk in the first season when she was like this, like, I'm better than you kind of housewife, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she's better. I don't, what's the main character? Liz? I mean, she's very flawed also. She's a real know-it-all. Everything has to be her way, right?
I don't like her as much, but I still am not, like, in love with her character. Like, I still don't, I don't know, I just don't find them extremely likable.
Well, they're not, you know, I mean, this show is a CW show, they're not heavily developed characters, they're not, you know, Kyle is probably the least flawed, the most genuine person. I mean, he breaks a lot of laws and stuff, but he's always trying to do good, right? And he's less, like, Liz tends to be very selfish, I think. This storyline of Liz getting together with her lab partner or whatever he is, this guy she works with, right? So I don't really trust that guy because I don't really, I don't trust the company they work for, and I'm not sure I trust that guy. He does seem to really like her. It's interesting that they chose to, in episode 3, to put Liz together with Max so quickly, because they didn't give time. Like, I thought they'd give Liz time to get attached to this guy before she bumps into Max, but she only slept with him had a one-night stand with him, and then she, also, it's kind of silly that, like, she pulls up in a cab, and, the cab stops exactly where Max is standing on the sidewalk. But for her to bump into Max so quickly surprised me. I just thought they were going to develop that romance a little bit to make it more of a love triangle.
Too. Right, but also, he had a one-night stand with the other girl, too, so...
Yeah, but he has a one-night stand every night. Like, he has a one-night stand every night. He's, like, you know, he's about to die, and he's going through girls. It's been talked about, right? We talked about it last week. But Liz, I thought they were going to give her a love interest and then make, you know, like, there's really no...
Yeah.
Because I just thought
like
they'd put an... There's no obstacle to her and Max. I thought they'd put an obstacle between her and Max, and they really haven't.
Right.
You know, other than, like, you know. So, anyway... it was okay. We'll see where, you know, it's still early in the season, so we'll see where this goes, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like I can't, even more so this season, I just feel like I don't love any of the characters and I can't really connect to them very well. But
all right, good. Well, then we don't have to dwell on the show. We can move on to whatever's next.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, are we going to talk about Black Widow now, or did you guys want to do the other show first, or how do you want to...
Well, AJ and I just have American Horror Story, so we could talk about it quick and then jump into all things Marvel. AJ, do you want to do that?
That's fine if Jamie doesn't mind waiting.
That's fine.
It was not a very complicated episode this week of American Horror Story. I don't think we'll be on it forever.
No, it really
right,
wasn't.
AJ?
It was interesting, but...
The most interesting about it was that it was a Christmas episode on a show that was always planned to air in the summer, right? Like, was this ever planned to be on TV, never planned to be at Christmas time, and we got the Christmas episode this week. And it was,
yeah, but it was a
fun. It was kind of a, it was fun. It was like a slasher flick, right?
Well, yeah, it's American Horror Stories.
I know, but I feel like there's maybe different kinds of inspiration, and I feel like this truly was inspired by, like, nothing more than slash. Like, even Danny Trejo was in it, right? Like,
I know, that was my favorite
was
part.
Really, it was the
best
part.
Yeah, that
was
my favorite part of the whole thing. That Danny, when it was starting and I saw his name, I was like, ooh, Danny Trejo's in this. I was like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was fun. And there were some familiar faces, so I should have a computer open so I can read actors' names, and I don't have anything open in front of me. I'm just on the phone. But, so two Ryan Murphy veterans were in this. The young, okay, so the guy who used to review men's beauty products before he joined the Bro House, the black guy,
yeah.
he just finished a run as Ricky on, he was really good as Ricky on Pose. So he worked with Ryan Murphy on Pose. And then Barry, the guy who was the tech guy, who the last one living, who the guy who uploads everything,
yeah.
He played Artie on Glee.
Yeah, I knew he'd been on Glee. Not that I ever watched it, but
yeah.
I knew
so,
that.
I mean, so they were, I mean, every episode of this has some Ryan Murphy veterans, and they were it for this.
Yeah.
And then Danny Trejo, of course. So I thought it was kind of, you know, fun. I kind of really, I enjoyed the credit sequence, actually, the opening credits, which showed a lot of, like,
yeah.
The Bro House channel,
yeah.
And then the whole, like, act one. Of the bros being the bros, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, they were. You knew it wasn't going to end well when they filmed the guy jumping off the bridge.
Right. And like everything leading up to that, like all the, you know, the whole like intro to the channel and all their, like, God, they were such jackasses, right? I guess Ryan Murphy doesn't think much of internet influencers, and I mean, let's face it, most of them are kind of like, I mean, there are some good ones, but most of them are kind of like this, right? Like just a bunch of idiots who are trying to like not have
exactly.
a job. They were hilarious until they, yeah, we knew that as soon as they, and I kind of wondered like, so I think his name is Barry, I said before. The one guy who's like, maybe we shouldn't film a guy commit. Maybe this is not a good thing to do. It's funny that, you know, he says that maybe we shouldn't do this, but did you notice, like, all of his objections? None of them were really about the morality of, like, maybe we should try to stop. They were all like, this could go bad. We, like, our viewers might not like this. We could lose sponsor. Like, even though he was sort of the voice of reason, all of his concerns were not really ethical and moral concerns, really, right? Like, he never says, geez, that guy's going to kill himself. We should try to help him. Like, geez, it's not cool, right? He has no real moral complaint, which was a little disappointing, I guess. But so, you know, I guess that's one reason why he doesn't get to live either. Like, none of them get – nobody is spared. Right.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, even though he brings up some, you know, he is against it, maybe not about it, he still goes through with it. And he still continues to, you know.
Yeah, he gives in.
You know, and it's kind of funny because, like, you get the feeling that the only reason he's even there is because he's tech savvy. Like, you get the feeling the other three really don't give two shits about him.
Well, and then that's exactly what happens, right? They turn on him, you know, and they're like, the only reason you're here is because, like, you're his friend, and nobody watches for you, man. They all watch for us. Like, they're very mean, not very good friends. So it was fun. It wasn't very murdery. Like the actual murders take place in, like, a 5 minute. Like, right? Like, it's a very short sequence when Danny Trejo actually comes to get them. There was not much. Most of the episode was devoted to them being to, like, the stalking pursuit and murder of them. They all go down pretty easily.
Well, you're right. The murder part isn't even my favorite part, and because it was so ridiculous, was when they got the bright idea to do gay stuff so that people like them, but you have to say no homo afterwards. And I was like, what? And you know, it's so funny, too, because I'm thinking about it as I'm watching this, and, you know, everybody knows Ryan Murphy is an openly gay man and has been for years before it was cool to be openly gay, you know, so it's even funnier when he does stuff like this.
Yeah. And his shows are so, like, gay, like, beyond gay. His shows are so, like, gay-friendly, bi-friendly, whatever, you know, he's cast all kinds. And he just did Pose. And actually, when that first started, I was like, wait a minute, is this a thing? Like, I don't really watch YouTube or know that much, but is this, like, a thing? Is that a real thing? And I was like, no, this can't be real. This has to be something that Ryan Murphy made up for this episode.
It could be either or, but you know what? That was kind of the great thing. Cause I'm sorry, somebody could, get off my lawn all you want to me, but there's something seriously wrong with this. Some of these, latest generation. I mean, obviously it was a show and everything, but he's basing it on shit people actually do. I mean, we had the whole thing with these kids going around eating Tide Pods, and then you had these friggin' idiots when the coronavirus started. They started a group of kids. They started going around licking toilet seats.
Yeah.
Because the coronavirus was a hoax, and they licked.
I remember
Christ.
That.
There's something wrong.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the millennials.
Well, and I glanced over, I was looking, I Googled to find the names of the cast, and I came across an article, I believe it was on Digital Spy, that talked about who was in the cast, but also about which internet influencers they could have been based on or who they're most similar to. It was speculation, did Ryan Murphy base them on these people? Maybe not, but the similarity to actual jerks who are out there on the internet who these guys were similar to, and we've all heard about them,
what actually is funny though, the one thing, I kept getting a Jersey Shore vibe.
That was kind of the original bro house, except there were girls in it too, but
girls in it too, but
Shore
well, yeah,
like
it was
the proto bro house was Jersey Shore. It was kind of it was kind of a fun episode. It was very, I thought it was not, it's maybe not going to be in my top three of the season, probably the three that already aired are, but it was fun.
It's only been the fourth episode.
What?
It's only been the fourth episode, and it's already not in the top three.
I mean, it was fun. And then there was that ridiculous Christmas tree at the end, which was sort of like the icing on the cake, which I kind of...
Oh, that was funny. That was awesome, actually. It was a ridiculous episode, but I did have one tiny problem when the detective called them. I was like, hey, you guys were harassing some poor girl at the mall earlier today. We got some questions for you about the Santa. Like, that felt very... lazy to me. I think if detectives have some questions for some people, they show up at their house, they don't call them and say, hey, tomorrow morning, can you come down to the station? Like, that's not really normally how things are done.
No, and I mean, I guess she never really says to them, like, they might be at risk. She basically is like, this guy killed, it was because he killed another Santa that she wanted them to come down and talk. And she doesn't really say, she never says, like, we think this guy wants to kill you, which is actually what he wants in the end, right? He tries to kill them all.
Yeah.
Doesn't just try. He kills them all. but, like, that wasn't, I guess that's why she said it could wait till tomorrow. But, it was dumb because he's murdered someone and chopped him up and put him in a Christmas box. And you would think that she would want to see their video immediately and not wait till tomorrow. That the cops would be like, this guy is dangerous and he's that large, right? And so, that was a little... But the story has to happen that way so that they can be killed. But, it was a little... there was a flaw in the story there. Yeah.
Even though the deaths, you know, all the murder scenes happened pretty quick, they were very creative. I really got a kick out of them. Especially the one when he strings him up with the Christmas lights and throws him in the pool and then turns the lights on.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like Barry was kind of the one that was kind of like, hey, this is a bad idea, but he kept doing it anyway. And then at the end, he dies because, oh my God, we got 5 million hits. And he sits there staring at the computer as he's, you know, pouring gasoline down the chimney and lighting a match.
Yeah, that was a little bit dumb because, he wasn't presented as the guy that would do that. But he does, yeah, that's why he dies.
Well, he kind of is because he's the tech guy. So, like, that's exciting.
Yeah, he's part of it. Yeah. And then he jumps in the pool and he's dead. Actually, so when he gets shot through the leg with the arrow, I immediately thought of Big Sky when Grace
oh, God,
gets shot
yeah.
through the leg with the arrow and has
yes.
to. And I was a little bit. I was like, wait, how can he crawl on the floor like that with the arrow through his leg? But he manages to do it. So yeah, it was fun. It was, you know, it was a fun, okay episode. And we need. I mean, look, last week was kind of fun. Also, last week was a little. I felt like a more complete episode and a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then of course, but you know, if we're going to have an anthology season, there's going to be like the more complex murder housey kind of stuff we saw in the beginning and then this, and mm-hmm. that's fine. It's a placeholder
right.
for us until the main thing comes back. So, anywho. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing
so
about being an anthology. It's a fun
yeah.
little
it's a fun
episode. You can play
yeah.
around a little.
Yeah, and not, like, overly scary at all. Although, in the very first scene, but early on, when we don't see the Santa, but we see him putting on those black gloves, I was like, wait, it's not going to be the rubber guy as Santa, is it? But it wasn't.
That would have been kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it
there.
Week. All right.
Yeah, not a very detailed.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't need a lot of it. I mean, it was a light episode.
No.
Yeah.
Kiki, quit.
So before we move on to all things Marvel, I just want to mention to you guys that I watched Departure. I think I texted you about it.
You watched the what?
It's a six. Departure? Departure is a NBC. I think it's going to – is it going to actually air on TV, Jamie? Right? Departure, I think, is going to air on TV.
It's going to be on Sci-Fi. I don't know whether it ever was. They didn't really advertise it up too much because it had already been released on Peacock, so it wasn't like it was. Kiki, I'm sorry. My dog is like, she wants to go to bed. My mom's asleep.
I watched it on Peacock. It said available for streaming August 5th, which is not for like two more days, but anyway,
yeah,
I watched it.
We're advertising it as being on Sci-Fi, but I haven't seen it advertised in a bit.
Well, it's full of Sci-Fi. Sasha Royce is in it, and Chris Holden Reed is in it, and so it's got a bunch of like familiar faces to those of us who watch Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
But then Christopher Plummer
really
is in it.
It was good though.
Well, it's not a science fiction.
Yeah.
It's not a science fiction, but Christopher Plummer, like legendary Oscar-winning actor, is in it. And Archie Punjabi, who's huge, right? And Claire Forlani, Del Grey Scott, like every single person in this show is. And I forget the name of the guy who played Donnie on Orphan Black is in it, right? Like every single person in the show.
Yeah, he wasn't in it very long though.
Yeah, well, don't spoil it, but.
No.
Anyway, I watched it. It was fine. It's only six episodes, and I think it is a limited series, right? But it definitely ends in a way that there could be a second season.
Oh, it's coming back. It's got a second season coming. I don't know what all is picking it up, because if I remember rightly, I think it was originally, I want to say like it was a Canadian show or something originally that Peacock picked up and that another country, I think, is getting season two. I don't know.
Well, we're not going to cover it. There's no so it's about a plane that disappears, but it's a much more conventional. It's not a supernatural show. It doesn't. It's not like Manifest. Like this plane crashes and it disappears off the radar, and they have to find it. So it's much more of like a it's much more to me in like the vein of like an NCIS, except that it's an accident investigation. It's pretty good actually, but
I'm
not gonna cover
it.
But, mm-hmm. Who's got some beeping going on there?
Me, sorry, somebody sent me a message.
So, all right, well, I just wanted to mention that before we jump into the Marvel Universe, and I guess you guys want to start with Black Widow, right? Since it was the big release.
Yeah.
So I guess, AJ, you saw it a few weeks ago, right? I saw it last Tuesday, and Jamie saw it a couple days ago.
So,
I saw it in a week.
Okay, so, AJ, I know you told us you thought it was fun, right?
Yes.
I thought it was pretty fun also.
I thought it was pretty good.
I'm confused about the making of this film and, like, did it happen out of – so we texted amongst ourselves when it happened, and it happened in between Infinity War and Endgame, right?
It happens between
Civil War and Infinity War, because it happens after all that Sokovia business and but did they intend to release it earlier? Was it expected to come out after Endgame, or did it drop at the wrong time because of COVID and other kinds of stuff? I don't really know. I don't know if you guys know.
Well, originally,
like,
here's
I don't know,
the thing.
I think it was always going to be after she died, so.
The funny thing about the movie is when it was originally supposed to be done, it actually was supposed to come out, or it was supposed to be made after Civil War. But then Scarlett Johansson got pregnant, so they couldn't film the movie with her pregnant. So they pushed it back and... They're like, it'll still work, though, because even if they do it after Infinity War and then do it, and then just with Corona, everything just kept getting – everything got all screwed up and pushed back, and then it just kind of ended up falling further back than they had intended it. But it still works,
so
even though you know her outcome already, because
works,
it's an in-between story.
It makes it – less impactful knowing she's going to die. Like, I would have, I cared a little less knowing she's going to die. I mean, it was still a good movie. It's a Marvel movie, but, like, knowing that the main character's already dead, it's kind of annoying.
I thought it was good, but it felt like a movie that didn't need to be made, and that's because we knew she was dead, but AJ, so it was originally intended to happen before she died.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, they
kind of
had to change things up a little.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's too bad, but it worked. I liked the idea of getting this, like, Natasha prequel, particularly because she's, like, a non-superpower Avenger, right? Like, she and Hawkeye have no superpower.
Well,
they're just really good fighters.
She does have a version of the Super Soldier Serum.
No, she doesn't, because her sister says to her, you only had mind control. We have chemical control. What's the sister's name?
Yelena.
Florence Pugh. Oh, Yelena. Yelena says to her, she says, there's some point where they're discussing what happened and, you know, you never came back for me and blah, blah, and they talk about it. And there's a point in that movie where Yelena says to her, you underwent psychological control. We... like had chemical control and we can't control ourselves. I think the Widows all have that, but I don't know. You read the comic book, so you know better than I do. So why
what
am I
you,
contradicting?
What,
so I apologize.
You're misunderstanding. Elena meant by that was
okay.
Natasha, she was just mind controlled, whereas. The Elena and the other Widows, it was chemicals they used to control them. Like, that wasn't just mind control. Like,
knew they were being controlled but couldn't do anything. Like, they were aware.
But they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't stop because it was chemically induced mind control. It was the type of mind – it was a more advanced mind control where they couldn't do anything about it, whereas Natasha was able to break free from it because it was just, for lack of a better way to say it, it was like a hypnotic suggestion was in Natasha, whereas
okay.
the other widows were chemically induced. And they all have a version they all have a version of the super soldier serum in them, though.
So I think what you're telling me is that they had mind control and they had super soldier. It's a separate, they had two things done to them. They got,
yes,
they took some version
things,
of some super soldier thing and then they had mind control.
I didn't realize
Natasha had that.
Very small amount compared to like what Captain America had done, obviously.
Okay.
But yeah, I think she, it was my understanding that she was just saying that they were aware, like, they couldn't, like, they could see themselves doing it, but couldn't stop it, like, as opposed to, like, not knowing
yeah.
they've been coerced, I guess. That's how I took it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, no, you're right.
So, all right. Okay, so I guess I understand Natasha a little better then. I liked Florence Pugh in this role as the sister.
Yeah.
I really have not seen a lot of her films. I know her mostly from Little Women. She was in Little Women like 2 years ago. But I haven't seen a lot of her other work. And I liked her. I thought she and Johansson were good together.
Yeah, although her accent was not so great in my opinion, but other than that, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you know that she has one and Natasha doesn't is, I mean, that's not really, I mean, Natasha was also raised in the, I mean, I guess it's because, like, I don't know why, because
Natasha's lost her accent.
Adults don't really it's not really well explained. But anyway, and actually Elena jokes like to her that it comes and goes. She's like, "Oh, your accent is back," which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I didn't love David Harbour's character, the Red Menace.
Oh, come on, he is great.
Devil.
Red Guardian.
I mean, it was a little silly, but I liked
Red Guardian. Yeah. I mean, I liked especially his whole, like he apparently had this life in the 80s as a superhero. Like, that was after
yeah,
he,
I
like,
guess,
you know. The,
yeah, I
but,
was a little confused
like, you're not
by
sure.
that. My dad said that he was, like, the Russian
Captain America.
Like, he had all the same stuff done
yes.
to him then, kind of. Okay, see, I didn't get
no,
that.
No, see, again, he has some of the super soldier serum, but nowhere near what Steve Rogers has. Like, it's a lot
right.
less, you know,
well,
he's not
and
quite
I,
as
I love
indestructible.
I love how throughout the movie, it's kind of like, is he making, like, everybody rolls their eyes and doesn't believe him, and they're like, you never met Captain America, and Red Guardian's like, Natasha, Steve told you about me, right? And she's like, what are you talking, like, I love how, like, they're all like, oh, rolling their eyes at Dad, like, is he making this up? No one's ever heard of him before. There's a doll of him, right? But he's, like, sort of like a low-rent version of Captain America.
Yeah.
And then I read a little bit, like, if you read the comics, he kind of is a real, like, he was in the, he's a small role or whatever. But
yeah,
I like
he's
that
not
whole,
a
like,
huge.
I guess that was his life after he goes back to Russia, after he, like, leaves America, like, leaves Canada, they're in Canada, or Ohio. He leaves Ohio, he has 3 years in Ohio.
Ohio.
And he goes yeah, okay. home to Russia, and that's when he becomes the Red Guardian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's after, yeah. I mean, I like that part of it that, you know, and I love, like, you know, these Marvel movies have gotten pretty good at injecting a level of comic relief into them, more and more comic. Like, he was a totally, almost fully comedic character, right? Like, when he puts on the suit and he says
yeah.
that and he says it still fits and, you know. I really like the twist of the mother being a widow, right? Being like the head widow, kind of.
Yeah.
I like the twist of her having betrayed them, but then she didn't. I mean, you kind of saw it coming, but yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. I saw it in a theater with only like 4 other people. I purposely went at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday so nobody would be there and I could breathe all the air with no mask on. So, I mean, I thought, I don't think that every character needs to have a prequel film. And I think in the case of the top, like, I think particularly the male characters are fleshed out a lot. And Captain Marvel, like Natasha is the one character that we don't really know anything about her past, except she talks about all the rent in her ledger, right? Like, Natasha maybe, it works for Natasha better than other characters to have a prequel story, right? I don't want to see every Marvel character get, like, Thor. We don't need one for Thor. We never think about Thor, right?
Right.
And Steve Rogers, everybody knows everything about Steve Rogers. Like, his movie started
well, but
the
they
40s.
Already had the Red movie. Like, she didn't. I think it's kind of
well,
the point.
Yeah. That, you're right, Jamie. Good point. She never had a standalone movie.
Yeah, his was.
And the women, so.
But I kind of agree. Like, I mean, it's cool and it's nice. It's a female Avenger and everything, and I like her. But I kind of did feel like it was kind of like, well, who cares? She's dead.
Well, I
which
really
I know
feel like that.
Because of the order. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I mean, it was good. I just, like I said, I feel like it's less impactful because I don't, like, nothing that happens is really relevant because it was back before everything else happened.
Well,
not that the other ones weren't. But.
Well, I
yes,
mean,
yes, it, yes, it,
I know
no,
what you're going to say, Adrian.
Because.
Go, I know what you're going to say. Go ahead. You're
going to
talk about Yelena.
Yeah, she's
it's
going to
be two part. It's not, I mean, Yelena is going to continue on, and, you know, they introduced,
Valentina.
Dear God. No.
The one from Seinfeld.
Val's a different story, too. But no, oh my God. Give me a second.
Who else was introduced in this movie?
Oh my God.
Who lives? I mean, there's her father, there's the Red Guardian, there's her mother, whose name I forget, who's a widow, the bad guy whose name is the bad guy, doesn't he get...
The daughter.
The bad guy's daughter, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say Helena, but that's not her name. The bad daughter,
no. Oh my
daughter's
God.
Name is... Yeah.
Can I just say, though,
I don't know or care what her name is. I'm trying to see the code name.
The code name of that character is, she's
getting
basically
old
like, the, what?
I said getting old sucks. I'm like completely blank on one of my favorite villains in Marvel.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I guess she's important then. But anyway,
I just Googled it. Is her name Taskmaster?
Thank you. Oh, my God. How can I not remember Taskmaster? Jesus Christ. Wow. Anyway, yes, Taskmaster was introduced. I mean, but at the same time, this was supposed to be, you know, before she died, this movie was supposed to come out. So, yes, it feels a little less, but, you know.
So, AJ, as people who don't watch the comics, I think Jamie and I might have missed, I mean, yeah, we saw that Antonia was, like, basically turned into a cyborg / widow, whatever, but I didn't recognize that she was a character from the Marvel Universe, really.
So,
yeah.
Taskmaster's a mercenary in the comics. Also a man in the comics.
Oh.
Taskmaster, here's the thing. Has the ability to, like they, you know, they did in the movie, to mimic anything he studies.
Opponent.
He can mimic it. And I didn't have a problem with what they did. They, you know, made it his daughter and everything, which I thought was kind of a neat twist and everything. The things I didn't like only thing I didn't like was that they made it so that it was more of a computer program type thing, which I didn't really like. But the big problem I had with Taskmaster was I thought the fight scenes were lacking. It was the one complaint I had about the movie. The fight scenes were, I mean, the best fight scene I felt was the one on the bridge, which I felt, you know, was kind of short-lived also. Like, I was expecting a big battle between Natasha and Taskmaster at the end of the movie, and it was just, like, a quick little fight, and then she subdued her. And I just, subduing her was fine, but I wish it had happened after. Like, I wish there had been a more grand fight between the two of them, because Taskmaster in the comics is a badass. It's not, because Taskmaster can mimic so many different fighting styles, it's not a easy person to beat, especially when they mimic your own fighting style, so they know what you're going to do before you even do it. So, and I think, who knows, it could end up being very interesting because Taskmaster and Deadpool have a very long history together in the comics.
Oh, wow.
And with Deadpool being part of the Marvel Universe now, the fun that they can have. But, yeah, Taskmaster is going to be back. I mean, you don't introduce Taskmaster without just for one movie. Taskmaster will most assuredly be back. I don't know what capacity, but, yeah.
Well, all I was trying to say that irritated me is they obviously made it about her reveal being who she was because – unless I'm crazy, I'm pretty sure that except when they showed the girl in the suit, that was a guy in that suit.
What?
Because it did not look like it looked like a lot bigger person, except when like they finally revealed who it was. Like I think it was a man in that suit for 99% of the movie. Maybe I'm wrong, but it sure seemed to be. That
it could have been a woman who's a stunt woman, you know. I mean, they might not have been the same body type. Maybe that's what you caught.
I guess it's possible, but I kind of wondered if it was the man's role, but they just didn't want you to know who it was. And that's why they did
that.
But I don't.
Well, that's actually the thing is they don't. If you looked at IMDb prior to the movie, it does not have anything about who's playing Taskmaster. They intentionally, like, that was actually a surprise. Until you see the reveal, when you see the movie, nobody, like, that was one of the secrets that Marvel actually kept secret, was nobody knew who it was. Like, they were, you know, anybody that shot, you know, on the set of the movie was not talking. There was no leaks, so nobody knew who it was going to be until the big reveal in the movie.
So I have two things I want to ask. So first of all, you know, Jamie talks about the person being in the suit. Jamie, I think you mean in the costume, because my understanding is that she doesn't exist without the suit. She's almost like a cyborg, like, and I mean like the character Cyborg in DC, right? But like she can't exist without technology because she was so almost killed in the accident, right? Or can she take off that suit and just walk around like a woman?
I don't know the answer to that because they, you know, they kind of reinvented the character. So that I got that same feeling, you know, because of her being a little girl. Yeah, I mean, she was a little girl in an explosion. So, and you know, one thing that I kind of liked, and when they were doing the flashbacks, I was kind of hoping for a quick Hawkeye cameo, because. Through the other Marvel movies, Hawkeye and Natasha are constantly making references about the mission in Budapest. And, you know, everybody's always, you know, and I, you know, we're always like, what happened in Budapest? And now we know what happened in Budapest.
because that's where she sees her sister and all. My second thing is about, you know, you were maybe a little let down by the fight scene with whom we saw as Antonia and Natasha. I felt like that fight scene really was about Natasha's act of mercy, or Natasha's, if you want to call it mercy, or Natasha being like, I'm not going to kill you. I mean, like, she, like, like, she really sympathizes and sees herself as someone who was a little girl who was turned into a weapon, right? Like, Natasha
right.
was turned into a weapon, Yelena was, and I guess she sees herself in Antonia and is like, I'm not going to kill you, and, like, extends her hand in friendship or whatever, and that's
right.
really what that was about, right? And so they didn't maybe focus, like, I agree with you, the fight scene was not the best fight scene we've seen in a Marvel film.
I'm just saying, she could have done all that.
Yeah.
But it could have been longer.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean,
with
Taskmaster's abilities, I felt like she subdued Taskmaster way too quick.
Yeah.
Like she might have, you know, held back and, you know, not wanted to hurt her and everything because, she, you know, that was her main goal. But I just felt like it should have lasted longer.
Yeah, and it never played to, like, so she's able to mimic her opponent, which makes her really hard to beat, but it never got to a point where Natasha had to figure out a way to beat her, right? Like, Natasha managed
right.
to beat her largely because of the catastrophe unfolding around them and not because Natasha, like, had a superior, like, ability to change
right.
her fighting style or to, right? There was no way
and that was the other thing.
To see Natasha figure it out.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, like, I think I only saw three things off the top of my head that I can even recall her mimicking. You know, we get like one or two arrows of her mimicking Hawkeye. Most of the time she was mimicking Captain America with a shield. And, you know, of course she mimicked Black Widow at times. But, you know, so I just – Taskmaster will be back and hopefully they – we get some better fights,
I'm glad to know this is a big person. So it ends with, I think we all really liked it. We don't, you know, we talked a lot about it. Jake, who's beeping? It's pretty loud.
Sorry, my phone,
if
I have my phone with me, it beeps even though I turn the volume off.
Really, my phone, if I get an alert like that, it doesn't come through.
When you're
looking
at
it, it comes through. It's stupid.
Well, all right. I know you can't help it.
Anyway.
So, at the end, we'd be remiss without not talking about the appearance of Val at Natasha's grave, which was interesting because I had watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier before I saw this, so I was not... like, it wasn't a new character to me, but had this movie come out when it was supposed to, that would be the first reveal of this character, right?
Yeah, and ironically...
you mean?
Yeah, but she's in Falcon Winter Soldier also.
The Julia Louis-Dreyfus character, yeah, she's in Falcon
Winter Soldier
also. Yeah.
Ironically, and you're right, if this had come out the way it was supposed to, we would have seen her in this first. I liked it. I think it plays better this way because if you just see at the end of Black Widow, there's really nothing other than that 2-3 minutes when she's like, this is the, you know, person responsible for your sister's death.
Even less, yeah.
You don't know who she is. You don't know what she's about. So, you know, and then it's just, you know, then it's a few people, you know, scouring the internet. Who was that? What's going on? You know? I think it played better, actually, this way because you kind of get a little more information about her, and then you see her in this, and you're like, oh, shit, there's Val again, you know? So I think, you know, ironically, it played better this way.
So, you know, now that you mentioned it, it played well, too, because at the end of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, she introduces herself like no one's ever met her before. She comes up to, what's that guy's name? Not the bad guy. John Walker, he's the worst. So she comes up and introduces herself to John Walker and says, I'm so-and-so, here's my card. But at the end of, which, Jamie, you don't really need to know that, but at the end of Black Widow, when she comes up to Yelena says, listen, you're not supposed to bother me when I'm here. And it's clear that they already have a relationship and have been working together for a while, right? Right?
Yeah.
So that was pretty clear to all of us. And you're like, oh, who is this woman and what's Yelena's job? And so, like, is Yelena already the Black Widow at that point? The new Black... No, she's not, because her sister's dead, So she's all, has she already, I mean, she's going to be the new Black Widow, right? So is she already?
They're going to be another Black Widow? I kind of assume she's dead, she's dead. You mean they're going to have another one, or you're just assuming maybe?
Yeah. No, they're going to have another one, just like it. There's a new. There was a new Captain America, and there's a new, yes. Like, and the minor thing is the Marvel comics do this. Like, there's a Hulk, and
why?
The comics do this. They die, they come back, there's somebody else, there's Hulk, there's She-Hulk, there's, like, there's a She-Thor also, I think.
I don't know. I think it's kind of dumb.
Right, AJ? Am I understanding that correctly?
I mean, I understand
the
they make another Black Panther. They need to. But, I mean, if they're going to have another Black Panther movie, but I don't understand making new other characters. I don't know.
But
then but again,
it happens in
like,
the
if it's
comic.
Well,
no, no, I get that. I'm
Jamie, look at,
I didn't know that.
But well, look at it this way. It's somebody, you know, when somebody, it's somebody else taking up the mantle, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing, like with Captain America, it's, you know, having another Captain America, but it has to be the right person. You know, you can't just give anybody the shield. A black, you know, a widow, you know. Now, whether or not Yelena actually goes by Black Widow or, you know, she's not going to be Natasha and how Natasha was. She's still going to be Yelena, whether or not she even goes by the call sign of Black Widow. She might, you know, she might go by something else.
Oh, really?
So.
In the comic books, does she go by Black Widow? Like, in the comic books, this happens, right? Natasha dies and her sister takes over in the comics. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. Natasha's still alive
okay,
in the comics.
Okay, that's fine. Natasha's still alive in the comics?
This is a
okay,
total
MCU
thing. Yelena does exist
not,
in the comics,
the same reasons,
but she doesn't, yeah.
All right, but there's a new, whatever, like Captain America or whatever, I don't know, but, I mean, okay, so maybe she won't go by Black Widow, but Yelena will take over on the Avengers, or not in the Avengers, because she's not
well,
in the Avengers, she's in Val's, whatever they're called, I forget what they're called, but Val has this other group of people or whatever. So
we'll
see
they haven't,
today,
we don't
right?
know what they're called. We don't know what, I mean,
yeah,
so far she's
know.
Recruited two people. We don't know what,
I mean, in the
I
movie,
have
movie
a,
in the comics,
I have a theory
she
that
a,
she's, I have a theory that she's creating the Dark Avengers.
Right. Which are a real thing in the comic books, and
yeah, it's just basically a bunch of villains that call themselves the Dark Avengers.
So whatever happens, Scarlett Johansson is leaving the franchise, and Florence Pugh has joined the franchise as the little sister, and she will have some role to play going forward. Just like you know, there's going to be a new Captain Marvel and a new Captain America and all this other stuff happening.
Well, no, same Captain Marvel, just there's multiple Marvels.
Well, yeah, because we're going to talk about WandaVision eventually, and that happens in WandaVision.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Anyway, I thought it was, I'm really glad they made this movie. I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I also, like, I mean, so two things that we should talk about. They really gloss over it, but there's that whole pre-credit sequence where they're living in Ohio. They're sort of like the Americans, where they're a spy family or whatever.
Yes.
And it's so traumatic
that was my first thought
to come
too.
Back. Right? Yeah.
Wait, pre-credit?
Like the Americans.
What?
That all runs
the,
before
the beginning
the credit.
Of the movie.
Like, the beginning of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Is
it
like,
wasn't the way you said it. I thought you meant like it was a bonus scene, like at the end. Never mind.
No, no,
I thought
the
you
credits
meant, like,
don't. The credits don't run until
that.
Like it's like 10 minutes into the movie
partially.
Where the credits run, right? There's that
no,
whole
yeah, I get,
part
I get
where they're in Ohio, and then when basically
they
sell the kids out, they when they turn the two girls over to the widow program, basically at the you know at the airport in Russia or whatever, and then the credits run. And they play Smells Like Teen Spirit, and there's all this music, and you only
oh my God,
see, like,
that was awful.
Flashes. Actually, it was kind of awesome, I thought.
God, I hated it. It was so slow. I'm talking about the
cover.
I like the opening.
You hate that cover.
I like the opening montage, but the cover, I hated the cover. The cover was awful. Oh my God,
I
kept thinking the whole time it was playing was oh my God, I hope it's almost over.
Yeah, so whether or not you like that particular version of that song, I like that they chose a song that was written in like 2000 and whatever. That song came out in the early aughts. And it's a
cover
that...
I don't know. I like Weird Al's version.
Well, and I read that that cover was recorded in 2015, so I liked that they chose, like, a version of the song that sort of spans the time that Natasha was in the Widow program. But they show all these flashes of what the girls go through, which is really incredible abuse, right? Like, and they...
Yeah.
And they I mean, I kind of liked the way they did it. Like, I think that if you're paying attention, you understood, like, when we were paying attention, the three of us pay attention, you saw the amount of abuse these kids went through to becoming widows, but they ran it behind those credits because, I guess, like, we don't go to the movies, we didn't go to this movie to see them dwell on that, I guess, maybe, right? Like, it was just the right amount of abuse that we saw, if I can put it that way. That's a really bad way to put it, but do you get what I mean? Like,
I get what you mean, but I feel like we really didn't know it, but you need it, because we kind of already knew a lot of it. I mean, I guess not detailed, but, I mean, we knew a lot of it from before, from stuff she had said. I think it was more like recap if you didn't know it. I don't know. That's how I feel.
Well, and you know what? Maybe not everybody knows it, because maybe not everybody's seen all the Marvel movies, right? You have to have seen, like,
right.
She was in,
right.
Scarlett
Johansson, right.
I think at least 7 movies with the Marvel franchise, so, maybe if you hadn't seen it all, you need to.
That's
and it's a little
point.
Bit instrumental to understanding Yelena, because Yelena went through, I mean, she's
yeah.
so much younger. Although it's interesting, it seems like Natasha went through some of it. Natasha went through it before they went to Ohio. Like, Natasha, remember when she objects and she says she's too little,
well,
she's only 6, and her father says, you were even younger?
You were even younger.
I feel like she went in, and then they went to Ohio, and then she went back. And maybe that's why
maybe,
Natasha
fought so
hard. She
already knew it wasn't a real family. I mean, she already knew what was going on at that point, at least.
And that's why
yeah.
Natasha fights them at the airport, that she doesn't want Yelena to go in, because she knows how abusive
right.
it is. Anyway, that credit sequence was kind of interesting, where they show some of the abuse, but it's not, you know, it's sort of, and it's shot in, like, a very, like, I mean, it's run behind the credits, and it's sort of, like, monochromatic, and it runs in, like, a memory. I thought it was pretty good the way they
yeah.
did that.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Now. But that's,
yeah, and which reminds me,
catches, yep.
That whole, the plane, the car chase and the plane chase and everything in the beginning, that was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. I'm like, there's no
that
way he survived
cool.
that and hung on to that plane, but it was cool. Although I didn't
know
at that
right?
point he had sort of superpowers, so it makes slightly more sense now. Oh, and here's something. I can't help sometimes but nitpick things and find things that are, like, completely scientific inaccuracies and drives me crazy. But you know what I kept thinking at the end of the movie? How are they, like, they're not in space. And I get that. They're past that, and the space station, or it's not a space station, but you know what I mean. The thing they were in the clouds has already partially fallen to Earth. But
the red
all
room.
I kept thinking is they are so high up in the air. These people cannot breathe without oxygen. And they're always, and they do it in Avengers too, and they're always just kind of like on the planes and stuff that high up in the air, and like they have no oxygen mask or anything, they just breathe normal. I don't know why, but that, also I kept thinking during one of the end scenes, it was like, she couldn't breathe. It's a dumb
yeah, they were
thing,
very,
but I don't know.
They were very high in the clouds and didn't need oxygen. I mean,
right,
you need oxygen
right.
to scale.
Right, well, but you have to be used
maybe,
to it, but I guess they're Avengers, so... Or she's an Avenger,
maybe
so
being,
I guess.
Maybe having super soldier serum, like, lowers your oxygen needs.
Maybe.
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 I don't
maybe.
Know. But, yeah, good point. I mean, I was a little also like, wait, it's in the clouds? Like, when they find, it's called the Red Room, right? When they finally find it,
yeah.
it's actually like a, like, high altitude floating island
yeah.
kind of thing. Like flying whatever. Of course, didn't Nick Fury have a thing like that also? Right.
Well, that's what I said. They've done it before. I know they've been in the air
yeah.
like that before. And,
yeah.
In the one Avengers movie, they're, like, fighting when that – the part of the – I forget
yeah.
what it is. Whatever part of
yeah.
the plane Iron Man was trying to keep up so it didn't fall, and they were, like,
yeah.
coming down. And
yeah. I mean, I guess one more interesting thing is that there were, like, 30 or 40 widows that were released from mind control and or more. Like we saw on that computer program that, what's his name, Dracov or whatever his name is, he shows in the computer program that he's got like, it looks like hundreds or even thousands of widows all over the world.
Oh, yeah, all over the world.
Right? So that's kind of an interesting thing that, like, could, like, in future movies, if Yelena's on a mission, could she find a, like, she can always find support somewhere maybe, or would we ever see any of them or not? I don't know. But it's interesting that they're all around. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
It's possible. I don't know. Who knows what direction they're going to take it?
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, it was good. I liked it. So, anything else, you guys, or should we move on to the next? Jamie, you haven't seen
that
wraps
it up.
Wanda?
No, I have not. I've not seen either.
Wanda
or
Falcon. Okay.
No.
All right.
No, I do want to see it. I honestly didn't have time, so. But
okay. Well,
I'll let you guys
know
once to get what I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
I guess that's it then. The only thing I was going to say is next week is what? The 10th. I was trying to think. When does Walking Dead premiere? Is it after next week or is it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's August 25th.
I just know our.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's just the embargo coverage or embargoes earlier. That's why I wondered. Okay. Yeah, it's not until the 22nd. We're fine then. I just was curious if we're going to be talking about it soon because I did that interview today. So.
Yes,
okay.
The 22nd will be a Sunday. Yeah. All right. So we'll pick it up then.
Well, for that. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I will talk to you soon then. Have a good rest of the week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a good day.
Good night, Jamie.
I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Good night.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So, I've watched both Wanda and Falcon, but I don't know if we have time for both of them or what you want to do. We've been waiting
whichever
for
one
to talk about
you'd like to start with.
WandaVision came out first, right? I mean, they're unrelated. They're totally unrelated.
Yeah. It doesn't matter which we talk about first.
Let's talk about WandaVision first because I kind of didn't like it.
See, I loved it. But go ahead, Karen.
Everyone loved it.
Tell me what you didn't like.
I'm the only person I know who didn't like it. Like, everyone liked it. Every critic liked it. The reviews are great. And what everybody loved, which was the sort of week-by-week sitcom kind of aspect of it, was what I didn't like about it. Like, I know everyone found it brilliant and entertaining, and I was very impatient with it, and I was, like, waiting for the story. And I know it was sort of a slow burn story of what Wanda was going through, but I found week after week, I was like, maybe it's because I lived my life watching these dumb sitcoms. I was like, oh, my God, now it's Brady Bunch week. Now it's, like, Dick Van Dyke. Now it's Modern Family week. It's Malcolm in the Middle week, right? Like, all of them I was
so
like.
That's why I liked it.
I know. And then as the story started to develop more, like, outside of, I want to call it Pleasantville, which is not what it was, but you've seen that movie Pleasantville. It reminded me a lot of Pleasantville.
Yeah.
It's called Westville. Westville, right? Really, as the story took off a little bit outside of the weekly comedy, I had less and less patience for the weekly comedy. What everyone loved, I just really didn't love that much. But tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. Why you love
it. Oh, no. It's not about right or wrong. I mean, that's how you felt. That's how you felt. I'm just surprised because I enjoyed it because of those things, because of the kooky, you know, each week, you know, we went from Bewitched to the Brady Bunch to this to that, you know what I mean? Like all these different sitcoms. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I appreciate, you know, and it's funny when the previews for it first came out and I'm watching these trailers and I'm going, what the hell is this? I'm like, I was nervous because I was like, this makes zero sense. Like, is it actually something that makes sense or are they just having fun with something? Like, I didn't understand it at all. And I'm just like, all right, I'm going to have to just, you know, reserve my thoughts until I watch it. And then I watched it and I was like, okay, now this kind of makes sense, you know. And
yeah.
I like the slow reveal of what was going on the outside world. Like, I'm like, who's watching them on a TV screen? Like, what is, you know, and as they revealed stuff, you know, it all, I felt it came together rather nicely. Even the stuff with, you know, delving into Wanda's history,
yes,
and what she remembers from her childhood and everything, and finding out that her favorite thing to, you know, was watch the old sitcoms with her family. I'm like, okay, that's why she's created this world, you know. And it all came together nicely. The one thing that I was upset about when Evan Peters showed up as Quicksilver, I thought, oh my god. And we know the multiverse is coming and everything. I'm like, she pulled him from the multiverse. I was like, this is great. I was like, it's not her Pietro, but it's a Pietro, and that means that the mutants can't be far behind. I was like, this is so cool. And then they flipped it on us and turned out that Agatha was behind it, just gave him false memories and shit to mess with her. I was so upset.
Yeah,
I was like, god damn it. Like, when he showed up, I was so excited. I was like, this is awesome. And then they flipped it on me.
I know. And I was a little like, so to your first point, I agree that I really appreciated how they brought the whole sitcom thing full circle at the end, where it turns out that her happiest memories are of watching old sitcoms with her family, right? And that's where that's driven from. But I agree with you. Like, when I saw him, I was like, that's not Pietro. Like, Pietro was a totally different guy in the movie. He's from the X-Men. What? What's going on? Like, Pietro didn't have super speed, and I was like, really, like, I was like, oh, we're finally getting, like, this sort of, like, because the X-Men have existed sort of separately from, right? The X-Men
have
not
separate.
Intersected with,
yeah.
With the Avengers. Well,
that was all Fox.
Yeah, they sold them to separate companies, and it was awesome. And then it turned out to be Agatha. And I got to tell you, I didn't love the whole Agatha bit. To me, the Agatha bit felt a little bit sudden in the last couple episodes, where it turns out that she's like a witch from Salem and all this like witch stuff. And, you know, I know that Wanda is Scarlet Witch, and her thing is like being a witch and having magic. But it's never really felt that way. It's always felt sort of superpowery also, and for it to be drawn to that business. And then for Agatha to have been suddenly this villain that wasn't really, you know, comes out of nowhere at the end. Like, I don't know, I felt a little bit like this is distracting me from the main thing that's going on here. With the main, you know, with Vision and the main villain really being this colonel that wants to, like, bring Vision back and control him. And then we've got this whole separate witch thing going on. I mean, I guess that Agatha was important to, I mean, what happens in the last couple episodes is really Wanda taking full control of her powers. I mean, I think not full control. I think Wanda is still uneducated at the end of this and needs some help, and maybe she can go see Doctor Strange, but, like,
She will be in the next
movie. She will, yes. But she took a real leap forward in her ability to understand and control her powers. And Agatha helped her with that, but I was a little bit like, really, Agatha, the funny neighbor, is actually like a big bad all of a sudden? Like, it bothered me a little bit.
Well,
I mean, is she in the comics?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's why I like, you know, because you're not as familiar with the comics as I am, so you're more of a person who's enjoying these movies that isn't familiar. So I like getting that perspective from you, because I actually was suspecting her as being Agatha for a while, because in the comics, Agatha is actually her mentor when Scarlet Witch is trying to control her powers. Yeah.
So she's kind of the opposite in this, although right? Although in the end she kind of helps Wanda
a little
way.
Inadvertently.
Right? Yeah, inadvertently.
Yeah.
I mean, she's trying to, like, take her powers and all. I knew all along the kids weren't real, right? We all knew the kids weren't real, and it wasn't long before we knew Vision wasn't real. And this idea that Wanda, you know, the most powerful witch, can create reality out of nothing is, I guess also Doctor Strange can do that, but so I'm not sure. When Agnes says, you are even more powerful than the Supreme Sorcerer. That's Doctor Strange, right?
Yes, if it is.
Is he the Supreme or the Sorcerer Supreme or the Supreme
yes.
Sorcerer or whatever? That's Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Or it used to be
yes.
What's his name? That lady in white who was his boss, right? What's her
yes.
name? I forget her name. I forget the actress's name. But he.
I just watched it recently too, and I can't remember.
He took that over.
Was it Kate,
he's the.
Was it Kate Blanchett?
No. It's that. It's on the tip of my tongue. She was in the original Snowpiercer. She played the Allison Wright role in the original Snowpiercer, the movie Snowpiercer. And her name.
Yeah,
is,
I know what you're talking about.
And she was in that vampire movie. And she, okay, let's not talk about her, and her name will come to me in a second. But the bald lady who got all that flack because I think in the comics it's an Asian man and the white woman. Tilda Swinton, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
her name is just
Supreme.
The ancient one.
Oh, the ancient one, right. But she was basically the supreme person until
she's
gone. Doctor Strange is the, right? Because Doctor Strange, I mean, he does magic and Wanda does magic.
Yeah.
So I guess Agatha, like, kind of, yeah. So I didn't love the all of a sudden in the last two episodes becoming this big villain that, okay, you comic readers saw it coming. I mean, I guess I always expected, because that actress is a character actress we've seen in so many things. I was like, oh, this actress is kind of a bigger actress. I mean, I don't know her name because she's not. But anyway, I was like, this person has to be more than just the comic relief a little bit. But
well, that's the thing, is Marvel has to walk this, you know, they've got to walk this fine line of making things new and exciting for those of us who've read the comics and know the history and everything. So they want to change it up so that, you know, we get surprised too. And try and make a movie for people that don't know the history, but still for them to enjoy the shows and the movies.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes sometimes it's going to hit and miss.
So as I watched the end of it, I thought, did you think this was kind of like, you know how Steve Rogers got to go back in time and be with Peggy at the end of the Avengers?
Yeah.
Like I felt like this is like Wanda trying to do that also. Like Steve got to have it, but Wanda had to like make it up. Like Steve goes to the 40s and lives up. We don't know what happened, but we assume it was like a perfect, beautiful life with him and Peggy, right?
Right.
And Wanda has to sort of like, well, it's funny because by the end of the season, I think that I always thought that Wanda did it on purpose, and yet by the end of the season, it seems when we see the flashbacks, like it only came out of her incredible. She didn't mean to do it, right? Like her emotion just made it happen. Is that how you read that?
Basically,
we were told by
it wasn't,
bad Colonel
that wasn't
guy that she stole Vision's body, but she didn't steal Vision's body,
right? No. She, it was basically with Wanda, because she was unaware of how powerful she actually is, doesn't fully comprehend herself, and just because of how great her grief was, this whole thing just kind of manifested. Like, she didn't go there thinking, oh, I'm going to create a town and bring Vision back, you know? It just manifested, the point where she actually didn't even realize she had done it. You know, I mean, as the show goes on, her memory kind of comes back and she starts to realize, that things aren't quite right, and it was fun comic fans, because in the comics, there's this whole storyline called the House of M, where Wanda creates a completely alternate reality. Like, she basically rewrites the entire world and, like, takes a bunch of mutant powers away and, just creates her own thing. And now, see, in the comics, that was intentional, so this was kind of a bit of a, they kind of took that idea for this and, you know, and kind of threw in some other things, kind of come up with what we saw in WandaVision, I feel.
Okay, yeah, because what we see is Wanda basically screaming and the grief is pouring out of her, kind of.
Yeah.
And she creates this. And near the end, when everybody in the town becomes like they're she's controlling all the people, or they're like glamored, or she's mind controlling them or whatever. And when they come with Agnes, they come out of her power, and they're all afraid of Wanda, right? And they're like, "This is horrible."
Yeah.
Like all, and she's like, "No, it's fine. You guys are also happy." Like, "No, actually, we feel your grief." And she's like, "No, you know." Like Wanda was telling herself nobody was being harmed,
yeah.
But it was really horrible for all involved, right?
Yeah. One of the fun things, you know, for any listeners that don't know this, but the Halloween episode, which I couldn't wait for, the costume that Wanda and Vision wear in the Halloween episode, those are their cheesy comic book costumes.
That's what they wear in the comic books?
Yes.
So at
the
very end, in the very last episode where Wanda comes into her final scene, where Wanda is like her full self, right? And she's wearing she's got that redhead, the red headpiece, which she does wear on Halloween. And she's got this dress, this sort of flowy black-red dress or whatever, which looks like that. It's almost like her real clothes now. Like Wanda can
She can kind of change clothes with magic.
Right, and she and Vision do it a lot, but it looks like that's her normal kind of clothes now. Like when she flies, she goes into that.
Yeah.
She's not.
That's gonna probably be her superhero outfit now. Like, when she changed into like, you know, the more modern new age costume, I was like, oh my god, that's amazing, because you know. It's, you know, obviously inspired by the original cheesy one, but made to be a little more realistic.
Right.
I thought
that's an update of
awesome.
The Halloween costume we see her in.
Yes. Yeah. Essentially,
and that's what she still wears in the comic book? Really?
Yes.
They need some new writer. Okay. And Vision, that's how Vision looks in the comic book.
Yeah.
He's not like Mr. Like whatever robot guy that he is in the movies. That's kind of cool. That was, because for me, I was like, why do they look, like old-timey superheroes, but they're not even, like, real.
Yeah.
To me, they didn't look like, they were, like, to me, that was, like, generic, like, nobody. That was, like, a generic superhero that would not infringe on anybody's, like, trademark. Right? I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. But
there.
she did have the red headpiece that we do see her in, version of that at the end. Which seems to be, like, important in her power or whatever. But I like that. I liked the whole outside thing that was going on also. So, like there was that horrible Colonel guy who was trying to, like, take over Vision. And then there's Jimmy, I think is his name, who's the FBI guy.
Jimmy is awesome.
He was great. I don't know if he's in the comic books, but I love that guy. I hope he becomes – he's, like, the new agent what's his Coulson who died, right? Like, I love having like a little cool agent on the side. I liked Kat Dennings a lot as the scientist, and you know, I have not been a fan of hers because I'm only familiar with her from Two Broke Girls, which I don't think there's a show I hate more than Two Broke Girls. I cannot tolerate or stand that program.
Darcy is in both the Thor movies.
Right, Darcy is like Jane's like assistant or whatever, right?
It's Jane's best friend. I mean, but yeah, she works with Jane.
Oh, because she works with Jane, and then there's that guy who works in the lab also, right? But
yeah,
I mostly the Thor movies, the original Thor movies to me, like that first Thor movie to me is one of the worst movies in the franchise. Like I fall asleep in that movie every time
I
watch
the first Thor.
Might be Natalie Portman that bores me to sleep. I'm not sure, but I don't really like those movies. But I thought like Darcy was great as a non-sidekick.
Yeah, Darcy was fun.
she was like a fully formed person that was invited because she was an expert and wasn't just sort of,
yeah.
I mean, she was a little comedic, but I liked her a lot. And then we have Monica Rambeau, right? Which if you have not seen, like, so I haven't read the comic books, but I caught on pretty quickly who she was and that she's the little girl from Captain Marvel, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed, she is.
So she's grown up to be some sort of an agent, and this whole thing happens, and she appears to have gained powers by passing through the barrier, which...
Yes.
She's not the only person who passed through, but maybe it's because she passed through three times. Like Darcy says to her, oh,
that's
Monica's
pretty much
gone
what they're
through
telling
twice. Her. Right? Monica's like, you've gone through twice. You've been changed molecular level. You shouldn't go through again. And she goes through, and then, like, her eyes turn blue, and you're like, oh...
Photon, yes.
Is that her name, Photon?
Photon, yes, that is her alias.
Oh, so I kind of assumed that she would be the new Captain Marvel because I assumed that Brie Larson is not going to stick with the franchise because there's a lot of actors who are cycling in and out of this, and Brie Larson is like a serious actress who's won an Oscar for a serious film, and I just
she's
thought
also,
that maybe...
She's also an actress... that apparently nobody likes.
Really? People don't like her as Captain Marvel?
Yeah, well, no, there's been, no, like, people on set. Like, apparently the stories from the set were
difficult.
She was very difficult. Like, co-stars have not been fond of her. And
ooh, so is she being spun out of the Marvel universe?
Well, I mean, she's in the Captain Marvel 2 is called The Marvels, and she's obviously in that. And the reason it's called The Marvels is because not only is Monica Rambeau going to be in it, there's another Marvel show coming later this year after Hawkeye.
Right.
Hawkeye comes out in September, and so I think in November. They haven't actually released a date yet, but the way it's been going, probably November is going to be Miss Marvel, which is another character that's going
Marvel,
to join
yeah.
that whole...
That's another person.
A young,
and in the comics, a young... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying it's going to be a younger girl, like a teenager.
But it's not young
20s.
Captain Marvel. It's a different person.
Yeah.
And so in the comic books, are there multiple, like, Captain Marvels or the Marvel, these are from the comics, right? Like, it all...
Yeah. I mean, eventually, Monica eventually actually does become Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, she starts out as Photon, and then she becomes Captain Marvel because, what's her face there? Danvers, she loses her powers. And then she gets them back and then becomes Captain Marvel, you know, the whole comic book thing.
So, you know, it's weird to me.
Carol's actually the third Captain Marvel.
Oh, interesting. So, it's weird to me when you talk about comic, well, then this person becomes Captain Marvel and that person becomes Captain Marvel and this person becomes Captain America or whatever. But having watched, like, the way Captain America plays out in, like, Endgame, Infinity War, Endgame, whatever, and then the way it transitions, even before Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but the way it transitions to Sam, like, it makes sense to me how a new person becomes Captain America. So
right.
I guess it can make sense to me how someone else can become Captain Marvel or whatever. And, like, as you say, taking up the mantle. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of obvious that she's going to become a superhero, but, yeah, I mean, I liked her enough also, that actress, but, and so let me ask you one more thing before we stop talking about this, but the way it ended with Vision, so we had, like, two Visions fighting each other, and then they have this kind of deep philosophical conversation about which of us is the real Vision, right? Like, who can be, because the White Vision, let me call him the White, can I call him the White Vision? The
yeah.
White Vision, the new
sure,
Vision,
he was white.
The White Vision was supposed to eliminate the Vision, which was funny because, like, that Vision was he even ever real? Like, there was all this stuff about how Wanda stole the body, but it turns out Wanda never stole the body, and she just made this new Vision. And so Colonel Bad Guy sends the white Vision to kill Vision, but, like, he was just a construct anyway. Anyway, they have this cool conversation where they're like, if there's a boat and you rebuild it all, it's still the boat kind of thing, right? Who's the Vision? I thought where it was going was like where white Vision was like, I'm supposed to kill the Vision. I thought it was going to be that white Vision would kill himself and be like, oh, right? But it didn't work out that way. It worked out that he, I think, is Vision going forward, right?
Like, he's now Vision.
He's going to be alive.
Well, yeah.
He's now Vision, right?
He's now Vision because he's the body, and now he has all the memories back.
Right, because Wanda's Vision gave him the memories.
Gave him the memories, yep.
And then you saw, like, the little white thing in his head turned yellow like the Mind Stone, even though it's not the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
Is it the Mind Stone?
Yeah.
It's not the Mind Stone, right?
No, it's not the Mind Stone.
But, so he gave that guy all of his memories, so that guy basically is Vision. I mean, his Vision. It's his body also, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Colonel, the bad Colonel, says, like, Wanda, it's like $3 billion worth of vibranium. You can't, like, have it, right? So it's basically they put his body back together, and then Wanda's Vision put the memories in him. So Vision's back. Vision's alive again.
Yeah, essentially. I don't know where it's going to go from here, but because he just kind of flew off at the end.
He did, and really there's no reason why he shouldn't still be in love with Wanda if he has all the memories that Vision gave him, which essentially Wanda gave him, then there's no reason why he shouldn't still be her partner going forward. You would think so.
Well, my point is, you would think so, but I have no idea what their plans are in the movie universe as far as that goes. That's just going to be one of those. Have to wait and see what they do.
I think a big part of the Marvel universe is turning out to be how long do actors want to stay in these roles? Because Scarlett Johansson made, I think, 7 movies with them. His name, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. must have made 6 or 7 movies, right? Like, all the original Avengers have made, like, a ton of movies. And how long can they – how long do they want to keep doing it? B, they're aging every day, right? And they can't – can't be, like, 50 or 60 and making – Robert Downey Jr. is, like, 50 years old, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with this – why this works like this, though, because – there are so many stories and so many characters like that, you know, you can do 7, 8, 9 movies, whatever, and then bow out and, you know, somebody younger and new comes in for, it's a new, you know, a new character, and you know what I mean? It can go on infinitely, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's much to, you know, there's so much story to tell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these comics have been around for over, 60 years now?
Since the 40s, at least 60 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not as old as DC, maybe, but they're pretty old, yeah.
Yeah. And see, something you might not have caught, and there's never been any confirmation on this, but when Monica says that she has a friend that's an aerospace engineer, and based on the outfit she has on when she's in that rover thing, when she's trying to go through the field.
Yeah, that sort of like spacesuit kind of thing,
The theory is that her aerospace engineer friend is Mr. Fantastic, because we all know the Fantastic Four is coming soon also.
Oh, is that coming soon? And is that going to be a remake of the 2 previous horrible movies? Or is it going to be
I don't know what their plans are. I don't know if they're going to do yet another origin story or if they're just going to kind of be like they already are superheroes and they might, you know, kind of like briefly talk about, you know, make comments once in a while about, you know, going in space and getting blasted and getting these powers type of thing. Given that they have already done, I never saw the one that was the one with Michael B. Jordan. I didn't watch that one.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to watch that one because I just knew it was going to be a train wreck, and it was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they did. I don't know if they did another origin story with that. The first two I didn't think were bad, with Jessica Alba and Chris Evans.
They weren't good.
No, they weren't great, but they weren't.
Films.
They weren't.
No.
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't awful though. I enjoyed both of them. But like you said, I mean, even when, like, you look at Spider-Man, you know, we're on our third person playing Spider-Man in the same company.
Yep.
And, you know, we got with Tobey Maguire, you had the original origin story. And then with Andrew Garfield, they didn't give us an origin story, but they kind of, you know, they kind of redid the origin story a little bit, but they didn't really go in as depth because Tobey Maguire had already done it, and now with Tom Holland, they just went straight. He's already Spider-Man. They didn't give us an origin story or anything because they knew, you know, Sony had already done the damn thing twice, they just went straight into it. So I don't know what they're going to do with Fantastic Four.
And we had a bit of an origin story in the first one, right? Like he does. We do see in that first Tom Holland movie where he's learning how to deal with his powers kind of thing, right? It's an origin.
Well, yeah.
Origin. But they don't, but you're right, they don't diverge from what they've already established. Sony. Tony, right? When Tobey Maguire made those movies was when they were sold to Sony, I think.
Well, they still are Sony. Spider-Man is still technically Sony. Tom Holland, you know, the Tom Holland ones are like a joint effort between Marvel and Sony.
Because they realize they
Sony
can make
still
so much
owns
more money
right.
by joining, yeah. I thought the Andrew Garfield movies were kind of the worst, and I think they kind of hit
bad.
It right. Like
they were really
like
bad.
With Tom Holland, they hit the right tone to bring it into the Marvel Universe. The Tobey Maguire movies wouldn't have made it either. But, yeah, so I see what you mean about how they, you know, they reboot a character to, like you're saying, with Fantastic Four or Mr. Fantastic or whoever, could they get it right finally after having some misses? I mean, whether or not you or I found those to be enjoyable for a couple hours, they didn't make any money.
No.
And they were critically not popular, right? So, but
well,
it is possible
thing. Now,
to get right the second or third time.
Now that they're part of the MCU, I feel like they're probably just going to jump straight into it. I doubt we'll see an origin story again.
Yeah.
Especially since they've been kind of hinting at them here. I mean, if all the theories are right that they were talking, you know, because her outfit and that vehicle were very Fantastic Four looking from the comics.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, they've kind of been insinuating things here and there through movies and stuff. So you kind of get the feeling it's already happening behind the scenes type of thing. And then, you know, we'll eventually get the movie. I don't even know what,
right.
you know,
most,
they,
most
that's
of your
probably,
audience
probably
is
until phase five.
Yep. And your audience doesn't need to be taken through it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to hold Falcon and the Winter Soldier until next week, I guess. Shall we?
Yeah, right? Might as well.
I mean, we could talk about it now, but it's going to take another half an hour. You want to hold off?
Yeah.
Because I have thoughts about that. I have thoughts about how much I hate Captain America. I mean, the fake Captain America, the new Captain America, John Walker, is the worst. Oh, my God, that guy's the worst. And I'm going to have to rant about that a lot.
John Walker's got a little chip on his shoulder.
Oh, my God, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. I'm supposed to hate him, right? Well, it worked. I do hate him. So I guess we can hold it until next week.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. I don't care because I'm off tomorrow, so.
Oh, well, we can if we think people are still listening. Here's the thing: we're already on the air for 2 hours.
You know what? Let's save it for next week. Let's hold it till next week, just to be, you know, simply because I mean, we've got next week. We've got a couple of the things, but not as much to talk about. So.
Yeah. Yep. And
we'll
also, I would like to talk next week about Marvel What If. Has that aired yet? No. Marvel What If.
No, that is that August 11th it premieres.
So not before our next call. All right.
Yeah.
So let's hold
That's
the Falcon and the Winter Soldier till next week.
All righty.
Okay. All righty then. Then we're finishing right on time, well, just about.
Look at
That's
that.
Fantastic. For a change.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Karen, wonderful talking to you as always, and we'll do it again next
of
week.
Of course. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good night.
Bye.